The body is a unit, though it is made of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. But now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to part from the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
Thank you very much, Lucy. Can you hear me? And you don't want your photograph on the website for any reason, then either duck down behind the pew or come and talk to me afterwards, okay? So bear with me. Wow, All Saints Peckham. Can we do a crazy one, like a worship Jesus pose? Let's go for it, yeah! This is going on the website, people! I just felt like I could not miss this opportunity. Everybody dressed up in all... I'm emotional right now. Thank you, Andy, if you just hold on to that. But don't nick it, mate. A few days ago, I was reading an article on the web, and it mentioned Peckham and places like Peckham. And this article used the term run down to describe Peckham. Personally, I can't relate to this description of Peckham, because ever since the day I moved here, wherever I was walking in Rye Lane or Bellenden Village or Warwick Garden, where we had our breakout last two Sundays ago, or was it three now? All I see is beautiful people. Everywhere I look, beautiful people. Maybe I'm one of these people that's not really so bothered about landscape and, you know, architecture. But I love it when I'm around beautiful people. For me, personally, Peckham is about the people. Sometimes, when we use the word church, we're really talking about a piece of architecture, right? We're talking about a building. Well, that, in the same way, I disagree with that. This is a beautiful building. This is not church. We are church. We are the church. So maybe, did I get an amen? Amen. Yes. So maybe as we think about redevelopment, we need to think about the words that we use, the way we talk. Maybe we need to stop calling this church and realize that we are church. And this morning, as you saw, there were people up on the stage. If you look around you, our diversity is being expressed in many different categories. For some people, it's football and sport. Some people have come in their ethnic dress. For me, of course, it's Reading Football Club. But for those who have attention to detail, I also have my Team GB sweatband on, representing the Olympics. This morning, we are together and we are going to continue to celebrate our beautiful diversity here at All Saints Peckham. But we are also this morning going to explore the theme of unity. How can we be one when there sometimes seems to be so many different kinds of people? I wonder if you've ever been invited around to someone's house for dinner. And you've sat down on the table, and everybody's around the table, and everybody's getting ready to eat, and the food lands on the table, and you can tell, no, everyone's tucking in, right? Everyone's enjoying it. And you can tell from the first mouthful, I'm just not going to be able to eat this food. Has anyone ever had that experience? Maybe it's really spicy food, because from that particular culture, they like hot chilies. Or maybe if you're from that culture, it's really bland, and you sit there and you're just like, this is really awkward. Because everyone's chowing down, and you just don't know how you're going to finish the meal. We have so many different types of tastes within one community. What can we learn? This is what we're going to think about this morning. From this letter that was written by St. Paul to a church in ancient Greece, what can we learn that can help us in our particular context, in diverse London, diverse Peckham, diverse All Saints? Could you please put up the first picture for me? It's a picture of a house, a nice big house. Now, has anyone ever been here before? There's one hand. Yeah, where is it? Do you know? Come on. Get some brownie points. Easney, well done. This is Easney. It's an estate in Hertfordshire where I studied the Bible. I went there for 3 years of my life. And it was such an inspiring place. This building here used to be owned by a family called the Buxtons. They were Christian philanthropists. Did I pronounce that correctly? I hate that word. Christian philanthropists. And they were also politicians, and they were involved in, for instance, one of the guys helped set up the RSPCA. Another part of the family were involved, they were in the Clapham sect with William Wilberforce. These people were people, they were inspiring people. And you'd sit in the library studying, there'd be pictures, grand pictures of all these people that own this building. They donated it for mission training to the church. That's where I studied for 3 years. When I went to that college for the first time, because it was an international training college to send people all around the world, it attracts people from all over the planet. So the first day I went there and I started to talk to people, I made a little list of the people that I could remember off the top of my head. There were Dutch people, there were South Korean people, all Christians from different traditions, different parts of the world. There were Chinese people, there were Japanese Christians, there were Greek, English of course, people from the USA, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium, Turkey, Malaysia, Kenya, Scotland, Hong Kong, Kazakhstan, Nepal, Madagascar, Italy, Peru, Brazil, Nigeria, the Philippines, India, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Barbados. Barbados, the best of luck, I'm joking. This place attracted people from all over the world to come and study. What does it mean for us to take the gospel of Jesus and communicate it across cultures to different parts of the world, right? Amazing 3 years of my life. But the first week when I got there, I had a meeting with one of my tutors, and right from the get-go, every student had to agree that by the end of the year, they would be able to demonstrate how they had fostered friendships and relationships across cultures. What they had learned at this college is that being with, spending time with, investing with, having friendships with people who are different to us takes commitment. It doesn't necessarily happen automatically. And so every student had to commit right from the beginning. I am going to go out of my way to develop friendships with people from different backgrounds. Because even though we were together studying international mission, it didn't necessarily happen just like that. See, it is normal for us, it is natural for us to be able to gather around people that are just like us. It comes naturally to us. You go into a room, you look around, first thing you might do, naturally, I do it, probably all of us do it, is look for somebody who I can kind of identify to be a little bit like me. Which leads us onto the passage that we're going to focus on this morning. See, like London, very diverse place, Corinth, the city that St. Paul wrote to with this letter, where the church was a very diverse place. It was a hub for commerce, and it's actually been noted that it was known as the least Roman of the Roman cities, as that's how diverse it was. Like All Saints, like the church here in London, that church in Corinth also benefited from the diversity of the area that it was in. But it had divided into at least four different groups. And it seemed that that church was beginning to become defined not by its unity, but by its differences. So Paul writes in this letter that Lucy beautifully read this morning, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all drink from the same Spirit. So it seems that that church was divided into four, the Jews and the Greeks, which is like an ethnic division, if you like, and the slaves and the free, which is pretty similar to what we would call class here. And Paul was trying to communicate to that church 2,000 years ago the reason why they all came together in the first place. See, it's one thing when we unite because we're similar. But in order to unite when we're very different, you need a really good reason to do that. On this very same theme, in 2001, a paper was written by three sociologists. It's quite a well-known paper if you're into sociology, which I'm not. And in this paper, these three sociologists coined this phrase, similarity breeds connection. Similarity breeds connection. In other words, if we find things through which we can conclude that we are similar, it's much more likely that we'll be able to build friendships around those things. Now, this in itself isn't a bad thing. Like I say, it's totally natural. Anything that connects us is a good thing. The issue only occurs when the opposite also applies. And that is that differences breed distance. Being a diverse, colourful community is one thing. But being united through all of those differences is an entirely different phenomenon. Or as Psalm 133:1 puts it, how wonderful it is, how pleasant when brothers and sisters live in unity. And brothers and sisters, this is one of the things that really sets us apart. Can I have my second picture, please? Because unity is tough. Has anyone seen this piece? Does anyone know where it is? Where? It's outside the church. Blenheim Grove. This is in Blenheim Grove. This is a picture of what often diversity looks like. Now, for those of you who don't understand what's going on, my assumption is that the first piece with the circle and the I love Peckham was done first, yeah? With a beautiful stencil. Maybe it was done by an art student or something like that who'd learned how to stencil. And somebody had come along who clearly has been in Peckham for longer and sprayed on the top, hate the new. So it was I love Peckham. Now it's I hate the new Peckham, you see, because there's different people moving in. And sometimes we struggle with different people. Here at All Saints, Peckham, we're no more immune to divisions through differences than we are immune to the diversity that's out in the community. We're not immune to it. It happens. It's a reality. But I want to just kind of throw out to you now, if the Apostle Paul, or if the Holy Spirit this morning, if you believe the Holy Spirit this morning wanted to speak to us as a church, and tell us areas where we need to be more united or categories that we need to bring together, what kinds of things might he say? Please shout out for me. So in the first century, it was Greeks and Jews and slave and free. What might it be at All Saints Peckham? Anybody taking a risk here? Very good example. Old and young. Thank you very much. Exactly. Anyone else? Sorry? Wow. 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 Amazing insight. Families and single people. Sorry? Families and single people, yeah? Able and disabled. This is off the top of our heads. Anyone else? So young people that belong to biological families that are in church and young people who are out there who don't belong to families that are in the church. Wow. Anyone else? Different classes. Did someone say different classes? A big one in Great Britain, I have to say. It's a big one. Classes. It's ingrained in us. Any more? Rich and poor. Age old. It's always been there.
What about locals and newcomers?
Wow. And we could go on. Locals and newcomers, right? People who have lived in Peckham for a while, is that what you're saying? Or people who've just moved in? Yeah?
Thank you.
Jim, black and white. Somebody said it. We don't like talking about it. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't something. I think we'll stop there because we could probably go on for a while. So the reality for us at All Saints Peckham is very similar to that of the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago. And point the reality that even though there are many different types of people, that we are one. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, pointed out this reality by using a metaphor of a human body. That which is both many, but one at the same time. So you may be British, you may be Bulgarian, you may be black, you may be white, or middle class and working class, Oxford or Cambridge, Arsenal or Tottenham. You might be a Londoner, you might be a Northerner, you might be disabled, you might be able-bodied, you might be youthful, you might be a parent. But I don't know if you've ever noticed that at All Saints Peckham, there's only one baptismal pool. Have you ever noticed that? We don't have one pool for women and one pool for men, or one pool for one group and one pool for another. We don't even empty the water out between dunkings. Doesn't matter who you are away from, you've got to use the same water. We go into the water one way. Every single person, doesn't matter who you are, every single person goes in one way, dying to sin, and comes out another way, rising with Jesus. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but at All Saints Peckham, we don't have a different saviour for different nationalities. It's the same Jesus if you're Scottish or if you're English, if you're Jamaican or if you're Bajan. It's the same Jesus if you're from China or if you're from Taiwan. There's only one Jesus and one way. There isn't a different Holy Spirit if you're Catholic or if you're Anglican. There isn't a Holy Spirit, a different Holy Spirit if you're Pentecostal or if you're evangelical. Or if you're clergy or paid staff or PCC or in the worship band. Same Holy Spirit that we all drink from. All Saints Peckham. Whether we realize this, whether we live it out on a day-to-day basis, we are one church, one body. If you want to live in this reality, if you want to feed in it, if you want this to be a gift for Peckham, a gift for London, a gift for the world, then we must, from today onwards, commit to love those who are different and those who are the same as us with exactly the same ferocity. It's the only way. It's the only way that we are going to be united. Years ago, Jesus Christ died and he rose again in order to bridge the chasm between us and him. And in doing so, he gave the world the church, which bridges the chasm that we once had between each other. And if you still don't get it, let me put it another way. I was thinking about having a soundtrack for this bit. We are family. It's like my singing voice. I should really be up here, shouldn't I? We are family. Look around you. That's your brothers and sisters. Sometimes you don't like it, but hey, we don't choose family, do we? That's what we say in England. We're family. We're one family. And so to bring us into land this morning, I want to invite up my big brother and also our vicar. Come on, big bro.
I'd like to do something radical, invite Ian to come up, and if he's not here, and any Arsenal fan will do. Just need an Arsenal fan. Ian's the
Josh
man.
Josh, go. Ian. Oh, Ian.
Good.
Come on, let's give him a round of booze. You're getting there, Jonathan.
Slightly tentative. We'd like you to imagine a church like this. Ian, good to see you.
Good.
I've got to say, congratulations on winning the cup. I mean, 2 years running now. I mean, respect.
Hey, Jonathan, nice to see you again.
Thanks. Yeah.
And likewise, good luck when you... No, but you was good when you was in Europe. You know, you won the... At least you beat Chelsea.
For those who are thinking, what are they saying? Tottenham and Arsenal, Tottenham, don't talk like this. This is a fictitious conversation. But imagine a church where the spiritual equivalent of this is happening, what Darius has been describing. Thanks, brother. Imagine a church where these differences we are talking about are actually real, where our value, which we have in our literature as part of our DNA, really becomes part of our DNA. If you've seen this before, can you stick it up on the screen? Our value, which is called welcomed, used to be called diversity. Diversity often means just race. But the value of being welcomed goes way beyond race, as some of you were talking about. The differences you described. God calls his church to be welcoming, giving the same welcome that Jesus did to everyone, wherever they had come from, whatever they had done, whatever they had failed to do. Imagine a church as welcoming as this. Imagine a church where you who think you're not old enough or qualified enough to have spiritual gifts, you discover that as God's word says, you do. And you can use them. Have a look at this picture. That you're like a player who's been invited, young as you are, or disqualified as you might feel to be. You're actually brought onto the pitch. You see this? And then you're given the ball. And then you're told to run with it, just like on Breakout Sunday. This is from Peckham Rye Common. Good picture, isn't it? It's a picture of what God does with his Holy Spirit, like the ball. He says, here is my Holy Spirit to you and you and you and you and the three-year-olds and everyone actually from naught upwards. Everyone who receives Jesus is given the ball of the Holy Spirit. Imagine a church like that. Imagine a church where the cultural alienations you might experience, for all I know, every Sunday, were to change. What do I mean? Maybe it's the language of the church. Your language might be, can we have the next picture? Your language might be a totally different music to the one we normally sing. Your language might be the language of dance. It might be the language of celebration. It might be God-given tongues. If it's a language giving Jesus all the glory, we want to welcome it here. Because God's church is multilingual in the deepest sense. Do you see what I mean? Imagine this, next picture. Imagine this little annual glimpse we get if you've been here on a Good Friday. You'll see it. Different churches in Peckham come together. This church is full on a Good Friday. And then afterwards, we go along Rye Lane, pray on Peckham Space. And then outside Rye Lane Chapel, just down the road, there are all these different church, as Darius said, not different buildings, no, different people, giving Jesus all the glory, saying that the one who unites us, Jesus, is more powerful than anything or anyone who divides us. And finally, imagine a church embracing diversity in every sense, as Darius has been saying, that isn't simply about the diversity of nations, but of ages, backgrounds, abilities, income brackets, personalities, every which way. Do you know this speech? Next picture. Do you know this speech? Do you know how it began? It did not begin, "I have a disappointment." No, no. It did not begin like that. It began, "I have a..." And on the day of Pentecost, which is a word that the church uses to signify the day when the church was born, when the Holy Spirit came on the church, God gave his church his dream that different people words come together, united in the power and the love of the risen Lord Jesus, sent out across the world to places and to people they had never would have dreamt of coming alongside as brothers and sisters. They'd never have dreamt it, but God did. He had a dream that he gave to his church. Here's what we're going to do by way of response. I'd like you to have a look at the flags just around the church. We've been talking about the diversity that goes way beyond just national differences, but the flags represent diversity in its broadest sense. Can you have a look around? Okay. And can you see one flag that you have no idea what flag it's the country of? So the three of you, you're not looking at the Austrian flag there. No, you know that one. Look at a flag, find a flag you don't know. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do in a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment and go to a flag you don't know where it's from and to gather around there. And here's what's going to happen. I could imagine you're going to be thinking, "Oh, do we have to? It's just so comfortable in my pew. It's just so chaotic when we all stand and do this. Do we have to? We've had Breakout Sunday. We've had a fire drill. Do we have to keep moving?" From the beginning of history, God's people have been saying to God, "Do we have to? Couldn't I just stay as I am, stay where I am, stay with who I like, stay with whom I'm like?" No. God invites us to stand. Would you mind doing that? Even if you would you do it anyway? Now, go to a flag that you don't know what it represents, and then here on the screen, is you're going to share a bit of God's dream, because we have a dream. Find someone you don't know standing around your flag and tell them one thing. Could be something in the world, could be something personal, if you're happy to share it, you'd like God's help with. And if you feel comfortable, you could pray for it with someone you don't know. So go to a flag, go to a place you don't know.